Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for seeking us out and drawing us into your presence. We thank you for giving us your word, which gives us instruction and truth to live by. And so now as we look at your word, as we come in your presence, we pray for our hearts to be softened and that we would hear from you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when I first meet someone and they ask me a question, where have I lived? It begins to become a little overwhelming because this is what I tell them. In 93, I went to Redding, California to go to college. I met Susan. In 94, we got married and we stayed for 6 more months. In 95, we moved to Tucson to do an internship. In 96, we moved back to Redding to finish my degree. In 97, we moved back to Tucson to do home service. In 99, we moved to New Jersey to do seminary, to work in a church and do seminary. In 2001, we moved to New York to finish seminary. In 2001, yeah, that was 2001. In 2003, we moved to Appleton, Wisconsin to do ministry. In 2005, we moved to Tucson again to work and pay off school and do ministry. And in 2006, we moved to Salem to say goodbye to family because of our plans to go overseas. And in 2009, we moved to Sweet Home. We moved a lot in our lives. For 15 years, we've moved all over. And our daughter, Emily, our oldest, had not been in a school longer than a year until junior high. So throughout all those times, we prayed and we learned to trust that God was guiding us in where we were to go next. Many times, we didn't know what to expect. And so this morning, as we look at Abram, and then, of course, his name will be changed to Abraham, trusting God is a journey. That's what I want you to kind of grasp, that trusting God is a process, it is a journey. And so we are in Genesis, which means beginnings, the beginnings of creation, the beginnings of sin, the beginnings of God's covenant with humanity, the beginning of God's plan of redemption. And so this next story is a turning point in Genesis. The story is narrowing in and focusing on a specific person. And his name is Abram. Abram had to learn to trust God. God knew that humanity was going to sin before they did. And God knew the choice of the family that he was going to choose to bring his plan of redemption. And so in the first 11 chapters of Genesis, you get over 2,000 years of time of creation, the fall, the flood, and the Tower of Babel. And it's just this 2,000 huge gap of time. But the next 39 chapters of Genesis focuses on a short time of 200 years, and it more specifically points to and talks about a family lineage of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, that lineage. And so this family is the beginning, the foundation of what is to come. Now, I used to think, and maybe you did too, but things have kind of transformed in my thinking. God has changed my thinking and heart over years. But I used to think that the stories in the Bible were stories of heroes who had great faith, and we should do everything they did. Now, these heroes of faith are great examples, but they made mistakes. And the Bible's God's word, it's true, but it's also a story of broken and fallen humanity. And so when we look at those people, we do see them pointing to God as one who is faithful. What is interesting is all those heroes that we read about, they struggled through life like we do. They made poor decisions like we do. They have little faith at times, or had little faith at times like we do. And so when we read Scripture, just because someone lies for a good cause, it doesn't mean that it's the right thing to do. Or when someone travels to another town when God doesn't tell them to travel there, it's probably not the right thing to do. Or as we'll see later in Abraham's life, when his wife tells him to go flirt with another woman, that's not what God wanted him to do, period. So don't take that as, oh, that's what we should be doing, because that's not what Scripture is telling us, right? These things you have to consider when you look at Scripture. The truth is God is faithful, and humanity struggles to be faithful. And so this morning as we look at Abram, he is considered the father of faith. It's repeated over and over again in the New Testament that he believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. So because of his faith, he was righteous. And so when we think of Abram, we think of this man of great faith who left his family, he left his home, his possessions, and he just picked up and left everything one day because God told him to go. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what would be there when he got there. He didn't know how he would feed himself and his family when he got there. But God told Abram to go, and he went. And so because he didn't know all these things, that's only part of the story, that he stepped out in faith and did those things. Because, and what's encouraging to me today is that not just that he was a man of faith, but that he was a man that lacked faith at times. He was a man that struggled just like you and I. My guess is you and I, we all want to walk by faith. We all want to trust God in all things. And we never want to doubt, and we never want to fear, and we never want to worry. And that is hard for us to do. But if we are really honest with looking at Abram and seeing his faith, he trusted God even when he had great times of doubts and disobedience. He still continued to trust and keep pressing on. And so he had very little faith at times. Genesis 12 is where we're going to look. And God appears to Abram multiple times, and he tests Abram, and he gets him, he journeys with him to build his faith. You would think that Abram would have passed all the tests, but there were actually four tests throughout his life and that he struggled with his faith, and he failed. And yet he got back up. And the reason why he did not fail, or he kept going, is when he lost his faith, when he doubted, when he disobeyed, he got back up. He brushed himself off, and he started over again. He continued to put that faith in God. On the opposite side, a man or a woman, a human who fears, normally will just give up. A person that fears stays on the ground. A person that fears stops trying. But Abraham didn't stop trying. Abram continued to trust in the great God of faith. He put his faith in God. So here's a little background. A little background of Abram. His father's name was Terah. Terah was a pagan. He probably grew up in Haran, or Haran, but moved to a town named Ur. Now, Ur was an important city. It existed for thousands of years. It had 34,000 people or more in it. It was wealthy. It had paved streets, beautiful architecture, and it was just a great fortified city. Huge walls. It had sewer systems and running water, and there was a tower like Tower of Babel. But the problem with this town was that they worshipped other gods. They worshipped false gods. And we probably get an idea that Abram came from a pagan family. His dad probably worshipped the moon god. And so he's coming out of this life where he doesn't know anything about the one true God. And so all of a sudden, out of the blue, the one true God comes to Abram and says this in chapter 12, 1 through 3. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go to your country, your people, and your father's household, to the land I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." This is the first time that God made promises to Abraham or Abram. There are seven promises in there. Great nation, bless you, name great, make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless you. I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And then all peoples will be blessed through you. So through these promises, Abraham's faith grew. He was a man of faith because he knew and believed in these promises. He got up and he left and he obeyed. He was a man of faith. If you want to grow in faith, if you want to grow in faith, grab your Bible, open it up, and read God's promises and read God's word. You need to know what he says and what those promises are. And to know those promises he has made to you. For instance, he will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise. That is a unconditional promise. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ." So you have to read God's word. You have to get your nose into God's word to know what he promises. And that's what we're doing this morning. We're looking at the promises that God gave to Abram that will continue to be unfolded, and we'll see that it applies to us as well. And so if you want to be a person of faith, you need to be in his word. You need to read those promises, understand the promises, and then trust God in his promises. So I probably knew this, but it became more clear to me this time around when I was reading. But God has, and you can do your study on this, but God gives conditional promises and unconditional promises. And what I mean by that is there are promises that no matter what we do, God will continue to fulfill those promises. There are the conditional promises, like if my people will humble themselves and come to me, I will heal their land. That is a conditional promise. But the unconditional promise is that God will do what he says here in Genesis 12, no matter what. This is an unconditional promise, no matter what Abraham does. And so when we read Scripture, when you look at it, make sure that you, when you look at those promises, look for the word if. See if it's unconditional or conditional. It might just help you understand it better. So those promises given to Abram, they're unconditional. The covenant that God gave to Abram did not depend on his faithfulness. God promised that he would make Abram's name great. In Islam, in Judaism, in Christianity, they all today still hold Abraham as his name is great, even today. There's also the promise in verse 3 that God will bless those who bless Abram and curse those who curse him, and all the families on earth will be blessed through him. This is probably one of the reasons why America is blessed today. We have stood by Israel and supported her. Even though the United States is not living the way God wants us to live, and even though Israel is even now in a condition of rebellion and disobedience, God's promise still stands. He blesses those who bless Israel. That promise at the end of 3 is fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. All nations on earth have been blessed through Abram, because it is through Abram's descendants that Jesus Christ came into the world. And so Genesis 12, verse 4, so Abram went as the Lord told him to do, just like we read last week about Noah. He did what God told him to do. Abram did what the Lord told him to do, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. When Abram left Haran, he left his father Terah there. He was 75 years old, and he was packing everything up and leaving, and he didn't know where he was going. And I would think that most people who are 75 years old are pretty comfortable where they're living, and they don't want to pack up and go where you know, just to move and go somewhere. But Abram was a man of faith, because he was willing to follow God anywhere, anytime, even when he was 75 years old. Verse 6 through 7. Abram traveled through the land as far as the side of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. God's promise is becoming more clear to Abram, and he stops and makes an altar to remember his promises. Now, I don't do this as often as I should, and maybe you should too, but when we have something that God has told us, or something that God has promised us, or he has spoken to us, maybe it's good to stop and to write it down and to remember what he has done. I mean, I've got journals. I probably should look at them more often and say, look, God, you did that. You said that. And that is what has happened, to look back and to see where God has been faithful. And so that's what Abram's doing. He stops and he makes an altar, and he worships God for all that He has promised. And God promises the land to Abram, not to him specifically, but to his descendants. In verse 8, Abram moves further south and builds another one of these altars. It says he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. We don't know how long he stayed in each spot, but we are shown in that Abram has no place to rest, no place to stop and settle, no place to call his home. He was homeless, let's say, and he trusted God. But he heard from God. God came down and told him, "This is the place that your descendants are going to have." And so he continued to follow God from Haran. Now, if you get a chance to look at a map, type in Google sometime, Abram's journey. You'll see where he went from Ur all the way up north to Haran, and then back down into like Shechem and down into Bethel and down closer into Canaan. And what you'll notice is, I should have brought a picture, but what you'll notice is, if you went straight across from Ur to, let's say, Jerusalem or whatever, to Shechem, it's going through the desert. And it's a lot of miles, hundreds of miles. But what they did is they went up into the nice vegetation following the river up north, and he just followed where God told him to go, and his father, Terah, stayed in Haran, and then Abram and his family left and continued on going south. So that helps you out. That's what was going on. But every time God continued to direct him, and he went and followed and continued on to see where God was going to give him this land. And God promised that one day that he would see it, or that his family would see it. God spoke to Abram and promised him the blessing of a family, but also this land. And so things seem to be going pretty well for Abram. He's following, he's listening, he's doing what God tells him to do. But then we get to verse 10. Genesis 12:10. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. Now I don't know if Abram should have gone to Egypt or not. The way in this story, the way it reads, it sounds to me like it was a bad decision on Abram's part to go down to Egypt during this famine. Because nowhere in Abram, it's not directly condemned for his decision to go down there. But later consequences make it clear that his actions did not come from faith. Abram did not consult God in this next stage of his life, but acted independently. There were no altars built in Egypt that we know of. And his request of his wife, Sarai, later in the passage, also reflects his spiritual condition. So Abram's faith failed in the face of this famine. And it seems that God wanted Abram to stay in Canaan, even with a famine. Now, here's a statement you can take and put in your bag. God guides, when He guides, where He guides, He provides. Where God guides, He provides. He could have provided, like He did with later on in the Bible, we'll read about Moses and providing food in the desert. God could have provided in the midst of famine where Abram was, and yet he chose to go down to Egypt. He had a choice to stay in the land that God had called him and trust God to provide, or he could leave the land and trust in man, specifically the Egyptians, to provide. Abram did what most of us do in time of trouble. Abram trusted man. He stopped believing in God's promises and left for Egypt. And so through this whole chapter, God is speaking to Abram. He's telling him where to go. God is appearing to Abram in a physical sense. Abram is building altars and calling on the name of the Lord, and it's a good thing. None of those things happen here. And so in a time of trial, Abram ignored the promises of God and turned to Egypt for help. This will become a pattern for Israel in the future, that they will stop trusting God and they will begin to start trusting man, Egyptians, whoever else. And so this shift of trust leads Abram to another failure. He begins to lie. We get to verse 11. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife, Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. Abram knows that his wife is beautiful, and the Egyptians would often marry the most beautiful women. If there was a husband in the way, it was okay for them to murder and take that woman as their wife. So Abram comes up with this lie to tell the Egyptians. He's going to ask his wife to lie for him. So he asks her beginning with a compliment. He says, you are so beautiful. So he compliments her. And then he says, I want you to lie for me. Justification is, well, it's really only a half lie because you are my half-sister. And it's only a white lie. It really couldn't hurt. It's a practical lie because he might lose his life if he doesn't lie. But notice what this lie does. It not only reveals a lack of trust in God's promises, but it also threatens the fulfillment of God's promise and his plan. In verse 10, Abram begins to trust in the Egyptians to keep him alive. Now Abram is putting Sarai at risk to save his life. His doubt and fear were a threat to his wife's purity and the fulfillment of God's promise. It seems to me that it was kind of a selfish thing, that Abram was freaking out and he was nervous about his life, and he didn't want it to go poorly. But Abram was not wrong in considering the possibility that someone would appreciate his wife as beautiful. And he wasn't wrong to realize that someone might kill him. But where he was wrong was to assume that this was the only solution that could happen. That this was the only way to prevent it from happening a certain way. And so he lied. Nowhere in this is he considering God's promise and considering God's protection. And so Abram stopped trusting in God, and he was afraid that his life was in danger. It's kind of like that phrase, don't force it, finesse it. A lot of times we think that we need to take things in our own hands and we need to force it through and get it done. And yet, God is asking for us to trust Him in the midst of our dilemmas and our difficulties and our struggles, to trust Him. And I would say that would be finessing it. When we pray, when we seek the Lord, when we ask Him what's next, where do you want us to go? What do you want us to do? What about this decision that we're about to make? Is this what you want us to do? And so, we get to verse 14. Things seem to be fine in Abram's mind. When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarai was very beautiful. He was right. The Egyptian men saw her and thought she was beautiful. Many of them were probably thinking to marry. So far, Abraham's plan was working well. And we get to verse 15. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. I don't think it ever occurred to Abram that Pharaoh would be interested. And so Abram, his plans kind of went sideways. And so Pharaoh took Sarai into his palace and began to prepare this marriage process, because all he knows is Sarai is Abram's sister. Verse 16. He, as in Pharaoh, treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. And so during this time, Sarai would be preparing for her presentation to Pharaoh, just like Esther was prepared for hers to the king. Can you imagine the long, sleepless nights that Abram had spent wondering what was going to happen next because of what he lied about? And at first, he thought it was going well, but then it went sideways. The only thing which kept Abram from enjoying his treatment, where he was given all this stuff, is what it meant. Pharaoh was giving these things to Abram as a dowry, and it seemed to start to go south on him. God's promises are not stopped by our lies or our doubts or our mistakes. God's promises continue, and they're not easily broken by man. He made promises to Abram, and although Abram had stopped trusting in those promises, God intervenes. And not only to protect Sarai and Abram, but to also protect the promise. And so we get to 17, verse 17. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she was my sister, so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Abram was confronted by Pharaoh, and he had no excuse. He didn't have even a response. And so Pharaoh, verse 20, gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. I mentioned this last week, and it'll continue to be a theme, but God is patient with us. God was patient with Abram. Abram comes away from this mistake with more blessings, more riches than he came. It's kind of an interesting discipline, isn't it? You would think that God would discipline Abram with in a different way, would maybe make Abram poorer. But these riches were kind of a double-edged sword. In fact, they probably, the funds and all the things that they were given, probably gave them more to take care of. But also, they purchased, or they had a maidservant they gave money to, a lady named Hagar. We'll probably hear about that later. But Hagar becomes a great stumbling block to Sarai. And Abram later in life, for it is through Hagar that Abram makes an even greater mistake. And Israel is paying for it even today. This controversy, this jealousy. And so the positive aspect of this blessing is that it shows God's great love and patience with Abram, and his great love and patience with you and I. He shows him kindness, even when Abram stops trusting in God and makes bad decisions. Even when he makes bad decisions, God continues to watch over Abram. He blesses him despite those decisions. And so when we look back at Abram's fears, we see mistakes. Right? Hindsight is 20/20. God remains faithful to him, and God remains faithful to us, even when we're faithless. And he can bless us, even when we are wrong. Sometimes he disciplines us, because he disciplines those he loves. But sometimes he wins us over with grace and mercy. He teaches us to be faithful to him by revealing his faithfulness to us. And when we look at these stories, we see men and women of faith going along, falling down, getting back up, and trusting God again. This is what Abram does, is he steps, he learns, he continues on. It's a faith journey. He's learned that God is the God of love, not fear. He's learned that God is a God of blessing, not destruction. He's learned that God keeps his promises, even when we do not. And so when our faith fails, God doesn't. And so continue to trust him. What is God calling you to do? Where is God stretching your faith? Where are you learning this trust relationship with him? Don't force it into your way. Trust him. If you try to bypass a test, God will just make you face a different test in a different way, in a different place. But he is wanting to build that trust and that faith in your life. So press into God. Trust him and walk through it. Abram had gone from faith to failure back to faith. And so trusting God is a journey. It's a process. And so like Abram, you and I are in that journey as well. May you trust him today. May you trust him in your decisions. May you trust him in your struggles and your trials. May you trust him to be overseer of your life. And he will bless you because of it. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you again for your word, for the men and women of faith that lived for you and trusted you. And thank you that you showed your faithfulness to them. And you continue to show your faithfulness to us. And so we just pray that you would help us this week. Help us this afternoon. Help us tomorrow, to step into this this journey of trusting you. May we learn to do that even greater, even deeper, even more this week. In Jesus' name, amen.